Well, I'd like to share with you this evening very briefly two truths that have been a blessing to my heart in times of trials and testings, two truths that would strengthen your heart, two scriptures that I'd like to share at a time specifically that I'm thinking of in my life when I was going through trials and testings. I seem to be bombarded with a series of unexpected and, yes, even unfair blows, at least from my perspective, things that I did not understand, and the hours were dark. These two principles were a life raft for me. And it could be, I have a sneaking suspicion, that perhaps some of you might be going through some difficult, dark times. Perhaps in your life, or it might be in the life of those that are dearest to you. And I want to pass these truths on to you, and I hope that they'll be a blessing for you. And I want you to jot down these two truths, if you'll just take the time to write them down, and then we're going to look at the scriptures. The first truth that has given me tremendous help is this, truth number one. Nothing touches me that has not passed through the hands of my loving Heavenly Father. Nothing touches me that has not first passed through the loving hands of my Heavenly Father. Nothing. If you'll take the time to turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, a well-familiar story, historical event. The book of Job, specifically, I'd like to have you turn to chapter 2. We're just going to briefly review a little bit about Job's life. Job teaches us that whatever occurs, God has sovereignly already surveyed it, and he has approved it. You remember in chapter 2, you had a series of five tests that Job was confronted with. In verses 13 through 17 of chapter 1, you see the test of Job's prosperity. And he had a great test in his life in four areas. Look at verse 14. His oxen were lost. There came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen are plowing, the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I am only escaped to tell you." So in verse 14, he lost his oxen, which were part of his prosperity. He lost his servants in verse 15, which were also part of his prosperity. In verse 16, he lost his sheep. It says, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And only I alone am here to tell you about it." Then he lost his camels in verse 17. All of this, his prosperity. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Have you ever noticed that sometimes when it rains, it pours? Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you have bad news coming in one direction, it comes in another and in another in a repetitive volley from all directions? But you have to keep that first principle that I've given to you in mind. Nothing touches me that has not passed through the hands of my Heavenly Father first. Nothing. You have the test of his prosperity, and then notice his the test of his posterity, his family, in verses 18 through 22. Verse 18 says, "Thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a wind from the wilderness, smote all four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee." His own sons and daughters. And notice the word of God says in verse 20, "Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And at such an early stage of divine revelation, not possessing the many truths that we possess in the completed revelation of the canon of Scripture, yet he had such faith. The test of his prosperity, there was a test of his posterity, but notice in verse 5 of chapter 2, there's the test of his person. "Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." See, the truth of the matter is the old devil had been thinking about testing Job. It says here in verse 3, "The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil? And yet he still holds fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." I personally think that the devil had him in mind, and the Lord was aware of that, and he says, "Hey, I see that you're considering." I don't think that the Lord was just playing games with Job, but the devil was considering attacking him, but God gave that divine permission nonetheless. "So nothing touches me that has not passed through the hands of my heavenly Father." Even his wife, his marriage partner, said, "Curse God and die." And then his counselors in verse 11, his pals said, "Hey, there's iniquity somewhere in your life." The best counseling they did, by the way, was when they remained quiet. In verse 13, they didn't say anything. That was the best counsel that they gave. And let me give you a word of advice. If you're ever counseling someone that's grieving, rather than giving them quaint repetitions and idioms and phrases that are so often overused, sometimes just a hand on the shoulder or a hug towards another lady, that goes a long way without even necessarily having to give your pearls of wisdom, just to let them know that you understand. It was when they started talking that they started giving the wrong counsel and misunderstanding Job. So we may not know why, we may never know why things happen, but we know that nothing takes God by surprise. So will you accept that by faith? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, and it's a scripture that we quite often like to quote and put on cards or comfort cards. "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So we need to trust in that first principle. What's that principle? Nothing touches me that has not passed through the hands of my heavenly Father. And Romans 8:28, Philippians 1:6, many, many scriptures that we can use. Remember that. Principle number two, that has been a great help to me. Not only realizing that nothing touches me that hasn't passed through the hands of my Heavenly Father, but number two, everything that I may endure is designed to prepare me for serving others. That is so critical. Everything that I endure is designed to prepare me for serving others in the future. God does not waste his time or his trials unnecessarily. Oh, we must cling to that. Think of a scripture, and there are many, but we are just here for a short time to go to prayer. But look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Here it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." And you know, we'll never experience him as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort were it not except through the trials. Notice what it says. This Father of mercies and comfort comforts us in all our tribulation. But notice why. That we may be able, that we'll be equipped to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort, that same comfort that we receive, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And the trial is a necessary part of the preparation process. All of us, I have and you have, been blessed by someone that was there when we needed them. Somebody that came into your life to help you when you were hurting. But you know what? God put them there because they were prepared. And in many cases, they themselves went through what you were going through. And they experienced pain. But their pain became a reservoir for your sustenance and your blessing. Are you willing to trust God? Again, those two principles. As I close, nothing touches me that has not first passed through the loving hands of my Heavenly Father. Number two, everything I endure is designed to prepare me for serving others more effectively. Everything. Let's trust the Lord and look to Him, knowing that He is our Father. We are the sheep of his pasture. Allow him to work, to use you for his glory as he so desires. Let's pray. Lord, we go to prayer for many of these. And Lord, perhaps this might give us new direction in our prayers. As we lift up these requests in prayer, Lord, perhaps rather than just the removal of the trial, perhaps we should pray in their lives that they will be brought to the place where their faith will be strengthened, that they will see that these things that have entered into their lives have first been allowed through the hands of a loving Heavenly Father that desires to make them conformed to His image. And these trials that we're praying for are designed to prepare them to someday minister to others. So, Lord, we pray for our own selves, and we also pray, Lord, for these that are before us, that this dimension that we've heard this evening and these two principles, that we might apply them. And, Lord, give us compassion for those that we minister to. And, Lord, I pray for some that perhaps their shoulders are bending and their legs are straining, enduring a certain trial or unspoken request, that these two principles would strengthen them and give them the ability to rest upon the Lord and trust in Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.